The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Roger, along with my co-host, Jason, and we are back for another exciting episode on the topic of money.
Oh boy, exciting.
Exciting topic, but before we get into that, I have our normal get to know you questions. And I have to say, this get to know you question is sponsored by my new friend, Microsoft Copilot, that I get to use. So you know how much I like AI technology and using it.
You were very into this stuff.
So I asked it to give me a question, a good get to know you question.
Oh no.
And so I'm just going to ask you and see how you answer this. So let's get to know you a little bit better. If you were a vegetable, which one would you be and why?
Wow. You know, can you just ask it to answer the question too?
As you're thinking about your answer, I could.
Okay. While I'm thinking, you go ahead and ask.
I bet you have never been asked this question like at a dinner party in your entire life.
I don't think I have been asked this question.
I have an answer, but I want to hear your answer.
Oh, man. If I were a vegetable, I should have paid more attention to VeggieTales or something.
Do you eat vegetables?
I do. I just don't know which one I'm like. I don't know. Broccoli, because no, I don't. I can't think of a good one. Or potatoes, vegetables. Because I just want
to. You stumped.
I want to sit on the couch and watch TV.
Whoever's listening to this, if you have a spouse or a friend, you just have to ask this question.
Yeah.
It's like the best get to know you question.
You'll get to know a lot of nothing from people if they answer. Okay. Brussels sprout.
Ooh.
I don't know why. I'm trying to come up with a good reason. I don't know. Roger, what vegetable would you be?
Well, I want to answer for Copilot.
Okay.
You want
answer
you
for
want
AI.
Ask. Okay. So AI says this. Certainly, if I were a vegetable, I'd probably be a zucchini.
Ooh.
Why, you ask? Well, because I'm versatile, adaptable, and can fit into various dishes just like a zucchini. With a zucchini emoji and a smiley face.
Wow. That's true about almost every vegetable. I'm not sure how versatile the zucchini is, Copilot, but yeah, well, there it is.
Well, our listeners learned something new, probably a little nothing about you, but...
Not a thing, no, no.
Well, let's get into our serious topic for the day.
Quickly.
Not going to talk about vegetables anymore, but we're going to talk about money. Mm-hmm. It's kind of been on our minds.
Let's go back to vegetables.
It's one of the pastor's favorite topics.
Absolutely.
To speak on and even to preach on. I think that's your favorite time of year when you pick a sermon on money. I think I heard that one before a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
So, but as you were talking about money, and it's a good reminder of for all of us about how money is connected to our spiritual lives, we thought we'd talk about a little bit about that sermon, give us a little summary, some principles, but then talking about money and looking at some questions that we hear, that we think about, and how we can think about our money, how it connects to Scripture and our lives. So if you can give a summary of what you talked about a couple weeks ago when you were speaking on money.
Yeah, we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, kind of a well-known passage, verses 6 through 15 or so. And it's the passage where Paul is writing to the Corinthians and talking about the fact that God loves a cheerful giver. And so we want to think about, well, what does that even mean to be a cheerful giver? And just looking at the passage as a whole, some principles that came out of that passage, the first one was kind of just conceptually give generously. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul early on, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And being careful not to fall into prosperity gospel, just conceptually, it's this, hey, we should not hold so tightly to the gifts that God has given, that they're meant to be used and used broadly and generously, and that includes financially. One of the things that when we think of this idea of money and giving, it kind of fits under the broader topic of what we call stewardship. And the big principle in stewardship is, hey, you're not the owner. You're the steward. And you and I off the air were talking about it. We don't own this. This isn't our money. This really is God's money. And we, as elders, think about that a lot with regard to the money that's here at the church, that's given by all of the members of the body. And so we want to be real careful with how we're using it. And so we don't like to be just quick to spend on anything and everything, you know? So, but the first principle, give generously, give generously. And then secondly, under the kind of this rubric of Christian giving is fundamentally about the heart. So it's a heart issue. And that, that kind of speaks to you, I'm sure. Cause you're the heart guy. Is that,
we all have hearts.
We do, but you're the heart guy.
We all live out of our hearts.
That's right.
Just want to admit it sometimes.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
But under that idea, you know, I was trying to point out from the text that it isn't about the amount, right? It's not about the amount. It's really about the heart. In another sermon about the same idea, I said, it's not about the amount. It's about the posture, right? Our posture before the Lord, why we're giving. So I think that's really important concept. Another part of this is we're supposed to give willingly. That's part of this joyful, cheerful giving. It's out of gratitude that we're giving. We're cheerful in giving because we know what we're giving toward, right? We're giving toward God's work and God's kingdom purposes. And when you look at the way Paul speaks of the Macedonians, the Philippians or the Macedonians, and their giving, they were so excited to give, even though they gave so sacrificially. It says they gave beyond their means, Paul writes. But they did so basically begging Paul to be a part of it because they were responding to what God had given them in the gospel. Another part. I wrote here, our giving must be shaped by the system of grace. And the idea there is at the end of this passage, Paul basically says, hey, look, the people that you're going to give toward, and that is because he was taking up this collection for the poor in Jerusalem, right?
Yeah.
He says, those people, they're going to give thanks to God for your generosity. And you're generous because God has given to you. And it's all basically funneling back. It's pointing back to the Lord, the system of grace. And so in that sermon, I was trying to point that out, that we've received and so we give. And when we give, it points back to the one that they receive from. And so they give thanks. And it all points back to the glory of God in our giving. So another way of looking at this, again, just to summarize here, it's not the amount, it's the posture. We need to know we're not the source. We're the instruments, and our giving magnifies Him, not us. And it's the last point is it's supernatural, it's gospel empowered in terms of our giving. Right, it's something the gospel changes in our hearts to turn from I want to keep for myself, me, to man, I want to be a part of what God is doing in this world and give for His glory.
Yeah.
So again, that's just summary of the sermon itself.
That's really good. It's I think going back to the heart as you're thinking about it, it reveals a lot about what's going in our hearts. And I think naturally, as we think about the distinction of law gospel, it even applies here that we have a law based giving naturally.
That's a good
point. There's an obligation. I have to, and we use language like that, or how much, and it's all based on kind of a law motivating us rather than a gospel implications motivating us out of gratitude. It's just is revealing of what are we believing in our heart at that moment? What are we thinking in our heart about money, about whose it is, about our posture, all the principles you're bringing out, it's just revealing inside of us. And I think sometimes people have a reaction because it exposes what we really value inside of our hearts.
Yeah.
And I think the messages like that are always good to realign us because we get out of alignment.
Totally.
We think about ourselves so much about money, like mime, you know.
Oh yeah. I mean, and again, you and I, we're living in California.
Yeah.
It's an expensive place to live. We're thinking about, will I be able to make the next payment? And, you know, there's so much that we have naturally on our minds that it turns our attention to self, to family, to me, to my own, to my savings, to my future. One of the things that I tied in this sermon was the idea of contentment.
Mm-hmm.
I think our contentment is necessary for generosity, right? You can't be generous if you're not content. If you're still wanting more, more, and more, you're not going to be willing to give of that, right?
What about also security? That on the opposite, on a different side of it, it's I can give, but this is my security. Mm-hmm. Bigger barn houses, bigger savings accounts, more things provide the security. But we know it's a false security because at any moment something can happen and destroy our wealth. It's happened in history. Sure. Things have happened, and wealth, as the proverb says, flies away like wings of an eagle and it's gone.
Yeah,
you know, and that's reorienting. We don't think about it like that because we think, you know, we think about what we see and we put our faith in what we see rather than in the unseen God who actually controls and has all of the resources and just sends them our way. And so I think there's a faith and a trust even in that, even in giving, you're saying, I trust you, God, more than I trust what I can see or myself.
Absolutely.
At that moment.
It's such a faith decision, right? Mm-hmm. It's a, without question, you are trusting that you're not going to falter because you've given the resources that you should have had for your own security.
Yeah.
Right. You're trusting that, you know, I just can't help but think of Matthew 6:33, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom first. Seek God's righteousness first, the rest of it he will keep for you. He'll protect you. He will carry you. So it's definitely a faith. It's certainly a faith decision and related closely to our trust in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget early on. We had just gotten married. Mm. We had purchased a home for a variety of reasons. We won't get into all of those, whether it was a good decision. No, it was the right decision, at the time, but we had one salary. Nora was still in school, pastor's salary, a young assistant pastor's salary. Mm. Let's go back. Youth pastor,
living
basically.
It up back then. Wow.
Oh yeah. and I just remember that they would say that you were supposed to spend like 30% of your salary max on housing. Something like that, 30-35% at that time. And I remember it was about 70-75% of our income directly went to housing because we couldn't, that's all we had. And I remember there were times that I was getting nervous that something would happen. The car broke down or whatever. There was a need and I'm going, Lord, you know, part of me was like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't tithe this month, you know, like, because I'm going to have all these needs. And then the Lord would amaze us. Roger, mm-hmm. I am not kidding you. It is not just something that to say, mm-hmm. be all spiritual. I would, and Nora could attest to this. I'd get a card in the mail. I'd open up the card and almost the exact amount mm-hmm. that we needed would appear in the card as a check saying, hey, you know, you did our wedding a few months ago. We never gave you an honorarium. God bless you. Thanks for your service. At the exact right time, you know, that we needed it. we trust the Lord. He can and he does provide. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have that same that particular experience. Yeah. But the Lord protects us. He cares for us. Mm-hmm. We can trust him.
Yeah, that's good. Let's turn to some questions. Some questions about money. I know you're working on some things of trying to give some frequently asked questions, you can say, or just things we hear about money and questions that come up that have been asked of us that we've thought about in our own lives. So
let me throw one out there to you, Roger. You're actually not just the heart guy. You're the money guy. But anyway, I don't have the answers. You have the answers. Here it is. Do we have to give 10%? And is that 10% on net or gross?
So you have to give 100%. Well, I'll answer. There's two questions there. One is, do you have to give 10%? The second question is, what do you give it based off of?
Yeah.
So no to the first question, because that's not what we're commanded to give. I mean, even in the sermon from 2 Corinthians 9, it's a cheerful giver, what's been decided in your heart. Mm-hmm. We hear of the tithe in Scripture. I think it's a helpful guideline. It's a helpful starting point for some. But it's not a law. It's not a commandment you must give.
Now, when you say that, because we said in the Scripture there is a tithe, but you're saying it's not binding for us because?
Not repeated in the New Testament. Okay. It's usually the argument for it. Also, if you look at tithes and offerings in the Old Testament, you actually get much, much more than 10%. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
And when in the New Testament, you're getting to the principle of what's in the heart, which is what Paul is bringing out, not the actual, here is the exact amount. Because if you think of God's wisdom, our hearts are so bent toward ourselves. If God just gave us an amount, we would never give anything more or less than that. You know, if you think about just how our hearts can be, oh, that's my obligation. I fulfilled the law and I've done it. I'm good. I checked the box. I gave the exact amount. And we get caught up with a number rather than the whole principles of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Yeah. So I think it can be helpful to some. I used it early on in my Christian life, cause that's what I was actually taught.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that's what I should do. And it helped me get in a habit, and I always gave it, and then building upon that. And then there was a second part of the question.
Well, before we get to the second part, is it on net or gross? But I think by answering the first part, you kind of sort of answered the second part, but we'll come back to that. I was going to say this 10% is not a guideline, like you said. It's not a law. One of the reasons that I think it's important to keep that in mind is something you alluded to. It may be that for me, it's better to give much more than 10%, right?
Yeah.
There are some who have the ability, and that's part of what helps us to make our decision. It's, what am I able to give? And what does my heart then desire, you know, to give in front of a Lord who has given so much to me? So 10% may be really low for some people. Yeah. It may be high for some people, but it's a basic guideline that, because of what we've seen in the Old Testament, it comes up regularly. And I think it could be a guideline for us today in the New Testament.
Yeah, it could be helpful as a starting point or as a just something to think upon. Okay, this is an amount that helps me think through how much I consistently give to the Lord. And I think that's important too, is the consistency.
Regular, consistent giving.
Yeah, regular giving, consistent number, and then you adjust as needed as circumstances occur.
Yeah. So let's come to that. Well, before we come to circumstance, let's come to net versus gross. And why that question matters.
I think the question matters because it looks at, do I give to the Lord from the first fruits of what I've received, or do I give him a net amount? Because if we give after we've given taxes, what we said is we haven't given on our growth. Our taxes are owed. We have to pay them, but we're reducing the amount we're giving to the Lord because we're saying, well, it's less. This is what I really received. Tax situations change and vary, and that's not the standard I think that is behind our giving. It should be what you've received, then you give off of that. It's the first.
Yeah.
You know, and we understand taxes come out first because
right, just the way it is on your check.
Yeah, on your paycheck, check. But I look at it as, okay, this is what I've earned, and that's what it should be based off of.
I think the principle that you're pointing out is, again, it's a heart issue, mm-hmm. and this idea is, okay, what's your heart? Is your heart, hey, look, whatever's left over of that I'm going to give to the Lord?
Yes, yeah.
Or is it the Lord is worthy of my worship, and just like I want to give him my best effort in service,
yeah.
I want to give him the best and the first in the resources that he's given to me.
Yeah.
And so for me, you and I talked off the air a little bit too. We don't write checks anymore because of this whole online giving thing, which part of me wants to go back to the writing the check. And the reason is it was an act of worship and even faith for me each month.
Yeah.
That I would get paid, and the first check I would write was to the church, for the Lord's work. And that was, again, it caused me to have to stop and go, okay, I know, especially those early days, I'm like, whoa, how am I gonna get through this month? But Lord, I trust you, and you are worthy of so much more. Yeah. And so there was, you know, people have asked us, we have boxes in the back of the sanctuary for people to put their offerings in now. Yeah. We don't actually pass an offering plate around. And people have said, I wish you'd go back because it was part of our worship. I kind of think we could think about that some, but I like the concept. That's why the gross versus net matters. Am I giving out of my leftovers, in a sense, whatever that luxury amount is, and now I can give from that? Or is it I give sacrificially to the Lord as my first fruits. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay, what's your next
Here's a funny one that's a quick answer probably. Who knows about our giving to the church? In our church, it's a certain answer. I don't know about other churches. What's the answer to who knows about the giving in our church? Do all the elders know? Do some elders know? Do all the deacons? Does everybody know? Who knows?
We just broadcast it at the end of the year and show all the top five givers, and then we clap for them.
And the bottom five.
And the bottom five.
And, no. We have just a couple of people.
Yes.
I think one staff member, mm-hmm. not a pastoral staff member, one staff member, and then a couple of elders, as well as our bookkeeper,
mm-hmm.
right? There's very few people.
Yeah.
It's intentionally kept that way because mm-hmm. we're trying to not make it about,
mm-hmm.
you know, we don't want to know sometimes, you know?
Yeah, it's you and the Lord.
You and the Lord, exactly.
And we just track it for the purposes we have to, for complying with the law and giving tax receipts to those who need them. So
exactly. And we're very careful and with our elders to make sure that the people that we allow to know, so the bookkeeper or the staff member, the administrative staff member that knows, these are very trustworthy people mm-hmm. that would not use this information in any way dishonoring to the Lord or to the people. I'm really grateful that, for instance, I don't know.
Yeah, we don't tell you. And it's better for your heart, right? So you don't know. It's like, should I fear this person? What about that person? I don't want to offend them. Yeah. Or it can get into your head.
Or why isn't this person giving more?
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping I wouldn't think that. But to protect us from any of that, I don't know. And I don't want to know. And I don't care, to be honest. It doesn't change the way I treat someone if I assume they're giving or not giving. And it shouldn't, but it's much better that I don't ever know. So sometimes people ask me, did you get that check? I'm like, I don't know.
It's the funniest thing when they hand you money.
Yeah. What do I do with this? Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the next question. All right, if we give to other ministries, charitable organizations, forget charitable organizations, but Christian charitable organizations, so ministries, do we need to give to the local church too?
I think to flip the question, we should think our first commitment to a local body we've committed to and to supporting them, and then also supporting the greater body of Christ, which is through both parachurch ministries and other types of organizations that we can be generous to. So we're generous, and we're generous to the church who is feeding us the word of God, that's giving us spiritual nourishment. So there's a commitment there. And I think that's our first priority. Our second priority is the greater body of Christ and the other organizations that are doing such good work that also rely on public giving. They're not receiving giving from anywhere else. They're not making a product, and they wouldn't exist without the generosity of people.
Yeah, so like a parachurch ministry that isn't tied to a church, so there's no other source of income for them, relies on the public, mm-hmm. other believers to be giving to that.
Yeah.
So, but you said, hey, priority to the local church, because that's what we see in Scripture, and that's where the collective resources are brought together.
Yeah.
But also... The flip side question is, if we give to the local church, do we need to give to other ministries and charities too? You would say need to, maybe not, but
yeah.
is it a good thing to give to yeah, other charities?
I think it is. Yeah. It helps do work. Maybe your local body isn't doing that homeless ministry that's reaching out. We support like a prison ministry that's going in and doing that work. It just gives greater impact. You don't know how far your money is going, the impact it's making, and you're able to do that by giving and spreading it.
And honestly, if we give to a particular ministry, usually, not always the case, but if we give to a particular ministry or charitable organization, we also are probably thinking about them and praying for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just popped in my mind, if we didn't, would we have missionaries?
Mm.
Unless the local church said, we're going to fully fund a missionary. The whole missionary enterprise is on the giving of people giving outside of their church directly to them in many yeah. cases, right?
Now, some denominations, at least it used to be the case that denominations would send out, and that's another way of collecting and doing a collective sure. kind of move. But you're right. There are a lot of independent mission agencies now, and how are they getting supported?
Yeah.
So. Okay. How about this question? Is it wrong to think about a tax deduction when we give?
When I was a young believer, I thought it was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was because I'm like, wait a second, you're giving to get something back. Shouldn't you just trust the Lord with your giving? And why do you care about that part? And that was my original thinking. And then as time went on and hearing different perspectives on it and other people speaking of it, it's part of receiving a benefit that's offered from the government.
Yeah.
And you can do it. You know, there's nothing morally wrong, ethically wrong. Maybe there is a personal opinion, but a personal opinion is not our standard.
Yeah.
But
well, and if your conscience tells you that, oh, it would be wrong of me to take the deduction.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say that's okay. Go with your conscience. Don't go against your conscience.
Sure.
But as we're looking at it biblically and otherwise, I think there's actually probably wisdom in using the tax deduction. I'll tell you why. I could probably give more even.
Yeah.
Right? The resources can go a little further as long as I'm not doing it for that purpose, that somehow it's not for the glory of God, not for kingdom work, not to honor him.
Yeah.
But oh man, I really don't want to pay taxes on this, so I want to rob from Uncle Sam, so I'm going to give it to Christ. Yeah. I don't know.
Although I'd rather give it to the church than give it to Uncle
That's
Sam
true.
At the end of the
that
day.
That is true. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Should the local church advertise the need or just trust the Lord? In other words, you and I, we are on a board of elders, and so we're looking at budget once a year at least.
Yeah.
You look at it a lot more than I do. but I look at it that one time and I go, it looks good. Okay, yeah. Let's move on. Should we advertise the need to the congregation, or should we trust that the Lord will provide? And why I bring that up is there's a famous guy named George Mueller mm-hmm. who refused to share the need for his orphanage publicly. They would just pray and the Lord would provide. And that's an encouragement. I appreciate that a lot. But what do you think about the necessity of such a thing?
There may be special times where there's a shortfall and the need needs to be made known, and the people of God have an opportunity to maybe give above and beyond. maybe it gives an opportunity for some that don't think much about giving, and they're like, wait a second, maybe we should be giving. Maybe it increases some giving, but it gives the people of God an opportunity to help and to participate in their giving. So there may be times where it's good for that to be made known. I think transparency is good for churches, and to express even a budget. Here's what we're looking to bring in every year and our expenses. And, you know, we want to.
So some churches, Roger, I've noticed, I've gone to visit some churches. Now, I don't know if I just got them on the wrong week or not, but in some cases, I remember almost every week they would post, here's our need for the month, and here's how much we're short this month. And
I've seen some churches. I went to one where they had gone through a really difficult time, and kind of a lot of people left the church, and they were showing the shortfall, and it made sense in a way, but they're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
And so that was a circumstance where it's beyond just a regular giving. It's like, we really need you guys to give, and we're showing you what's come in. Is it wrong? No.
So it just kind of depends on the situation.
Yeah, the wisdom of the leaders of that congregation thinking about how they want to make it known. Paul made his need known at times, and the body comes around.
Yeah, and I think the key, one of the issues that arises in ministry, local church ministry, is I don't want people to give only because there is a need.
Yes.
We're trying to cultivate hearts of generosity and giving because God is worthy. The gospel is worthy, and we want it for the promotion of God's kingdom work, right?
Yeah.
That we're just, it's part of our spiritual growth and sanctification. And so sometimes it's like, if it's just about a need, the elders as well as deacons have not liked the fact that I don't often preach about money. Yeah. Now, the issue is, I think there's a right and a wrong here on both parts. Like, I should preach more about money because it is an important issue with regard to our spiritual growth and advancement. It's not a non-issue. There's a shyness of me to preach on it because it sounds like it's connected to, you know, my livelihood, so to speak.
Because it has bad connotations.
Yeah.
The church just wants my money.
Exactly.
And you've seen so many bad cases of misuse of money and all of that. So there's things around that. And the pastor talking about money. Why is he talking about money?
Yep.
Don't talk about my resources. What do you do all week, you know? And we're paying your salary. And
I just work 1 hour a week, guys.
It's amazing the rate you're getting around
crazy.
Here. No, but if it's really a spiritual issue and has to do with stewardship, it's a pastoral issue. Mm. It's nothing about one particular person. It's about God's word is speaking into all of us because you deal with your own money.
Yep.
And you have your own heart issues with money. Amen. So you're preaching to your own soul too. It's not directed and pointing the finger at others. It's pointing the finger at all of us as God's word exposes our hearts and shows us.
Which, that's a great point. It leads actually to another interesting question. Should the pastor give to the local church he serves?
I think he should donate his entire salary back.
All right, we're no longer going to have the Rod and Staff podcast.
No, it's such a funny question because you don't think about it unless you're really a pastor or people are thinking, how does a pastor give?
Yeah.
You know, because you think, am I just giving to pay my salary?
Yeah.
But here's where I think it's important to disconnect our dollar to a specific thing. We're giving to the local church and trusting that money to the leaders of the local church to use it to fulfill all the obligations, and you're just like one of the people.
Exactly.
You happen to take a salary from the church, not outside of the church, but you're no different than anybody, and so there should be no distinction or discomfort with thinking that the pastor is also giving as an act of worship, as he calls the people to give as an act of worship.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that also to be an example, even though people don't know of the amount of giving or whatever, but there's still an example of giving that if I'm going to teach that the word of God calls on the body to give to the local body, I better be also giving to the local body. And so I think that's exactly right. There's a lot more, Roger, that we can get to, but I think our time is passing here.
Well, yeah, we can talk about money. I know how much you love this topic. So.
Favorite topic.
Well, if you disagree with anything Jason said, you know where to write to us. No, we hope you receive some value out of this or some thoughts. I know there's a lot of questions, and oftentimes I think when we talk about money, there's very objective things we see in Scripture that we started this with, and then there's questions that come out, and there can be different personal opinions on them and principles as we're trying to apply them. But we don't want to lose focus and be so focused on money where we're forgetting the connection to our spiritual life, the generosity perspective, and the stewardship. And I'll add one more thing we didn't talk about that I think is important, is our giving is a way to pull us away from this world and to put our eyes on the world to come. Amen. As we think about less about the resources and the comforts and the joys here, and we think one day this is all going to be gone and we will be in glory in the world that we were created for. So,
amen.
Well, if you have any questions or feedback, feedback at rodandstaff.org, and we hope you will come back next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodandstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.